Usually on the Feast of Christ the King, I tend to preach on what it means that Jesus is the King of the universe. I wanted to take a little bit different approach this year and focus more on the implications that Jesus' kingship has on us and the way that we live today. So the first question then is, what is the relationship of a subject to a king? It's a little bit unfamiliar for us because most, if not all of us, have never lived in a place where there was a king. Maybe some have. But in any case, what is the relationship between a subject and a king? Well, we think, first of all, that the subjects are at the service of the king. It's a relationship of service. Now, sometimes, reading fairy tales or whatever, we hear about kings that are corrupt, kings that exploit the people. But really, the truth about kingship, in fact, about any kind of person who has been given authority to govern, is that that authority is given for the service of the people. And the best kings, the truest kings, have nothing more than the love of the people at heart. And, of course, that's the kind of king that we have. Our king loves us more than anyone. And he lays down his life for us. That is the image of service, of kingship, that the Lord Jesus gives us. And so, when we are serving, we're placing ourselves at the service of the King of the universe, Jesus, we don't have to worry that he's going to treat us like slaves, that he's going to just, you know, sit there on his throne like some sort of pompous or arrogant person who simply expects everyone to be at his beck and call for his own pleasure and glorification. That's not the kind of king that Jesus is. Yes, we must adore him and love him, but it's a relationship of service that goes in both directions. So if the relationship of subjects to the king is one of service, then the question is simply, will we serve? Will we live lives of service? Now, sometimes we get caught up in our day-to-day life, busyness, all the different concerns that we have. But we might have the occasional insight or bright idea that, gosh, I should do something out of service. I should go out and do something special as a means of serving. And that's wonderful. That is wonderful. But the kind of service that is asked of us as servants of the King is more than just from time to time or even often doing something of service for him or for our neighbor. The kind of service that is asked of us is a lifestyle of service. It's an attitude. It's a spirit that should permeate and pervade our life. We should live our whole life in service. Now, it's not in Scripture, but the tradition of the church is that Lucifer is the one who said, "Non serviam," I will not serve. Of course, we don't want to be, we don't want to follow in those footsteps. We know very well. We stand before the Lord and we say, "Yes, Lord, I want to serve. I will serve." So we follow the example of the Lord. Remember the Last Supper in St. John's account of the Last Supper. Jesus gets up from the table, takes off his outer garment, wraps a towel around his waist, and proceeds to wash the feet of the disciples. The nasty, dirty feet of the disciples. Jesus humbles himself to serve. Perhaps a more visible example for us is that of Pope Francis. from the very beginning of his pontificate, he has not stopped talking about serving one another. And not just when it's easy or convenient. Pope Francis has ruffled a lot of feathers in the church, perhaps because he's urging us to get out of our comfort zone and to go to the highways and the byways and the very margins of our world and to find those people who have been trampled upon, chewed up and spit out by this world. Find them, he says. Care for them. Love them. Show them mercy. Give yourself for them. Well, we might have to pray pretty hard about what that will mean for us. Not everyone can just abandon their day-to-day life and go out into the world someplace far away. We don't have to go far away. Our own family life, our own home, is a place where we can learn mercy and service. I've never been married, but I've talked to a lot of married people, and I know it's no cakewalk. You have a great opportunity to learn sometimes the hard way what it means to serve and to lay down your life for another, to grow in patience, to grow in humility, to grow in mercy. What about being a servant of your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters? What about being a servant of your neighbor? Or even the stranger on the street who needs something? Sometimes the one that we serve, or the people that we serve, are not ones who are familiar to us. I think we all have to pray hard to sort of find out where the Lord is urging us to go and be servants. The challenge is to venture out from our comfort zone and to serve with a love that is radical, not just a love that is comfortable and easy and familiar. That's where the call of the gospel takes us. Out to the edges, out to the periphery. After all, Jesus identified himself in the gospel with those who are hungry, poor, homeless, in prison, sick. Those are the people Jesus said are closest to him. He said, if you serve those people, you are serving me. Our question then, will we serve? Will we live lives of service? And in that way, come to know Jesus the King. The world would tell us the more we give, the poorer we become. Our bank account balance goes down and down and down. The more we give of ourselves, the less we have for ourselves. But in the kingdom of God, it's exactly the opposite. The more we serve, the more we are humbled, the more we give of ourselves for other people, the more our life is enriched, the deeper our satisfaction in life, the more at peace we are, and the greater our joy in life. Let's then ponder that question for just a moment. Will we serve? Will we serve?